Blog Talk Radio.
Well, I really love that music box in the background. It's The Streets Where You Live, and I'm so happy I have it. It was given to me by my sister not too long ago, and it's a present that I gave to my mom many, many moons ago, and I'm happy I have it back. Anyway, I can't tell you how happy I am to be back here on Foodomania with you guys, and it's been 6 months literally to the day since the last show I did, and a lot has happened in between, and good stuff, of course, and lots of changes, and also some things that, maybe you consider were not that good, but everything happens for a reason. I really do believe that, and we just got to go forward. And I'm speaking to you from Brammy Studios, unfortunately, a lot of you don't know that 1020 Studios suffered a fire back in August, and it's taken a lot of time and a lot of energy to save what we could and rebuild in a brand new studio called 1420. So 1020 Radio still exists, and you're listening to that right now. New studios are called 1420 Studios, and it's just so interesting how the 20 seems to be like a continuing theme. And, it's the holiday season right now, and there's a lot of reasons to be thankful. I'm just real thankful that we got past the fire, that the dogs are okay, and that we, we just start again. And that's what I've done so many times. And it's just like a really good recipe. If you start out with the best intentions and it doesn't work out, what do? You start again. And that's it. All right, so today I was talking about going to Grandma's house, and that little music box on The Streets Where You Live is a perfect example of a good old memory of the holiday season, when usually on a Sunday in a snowy New York subway station, we made our way to Grandma's house for a really, really good dinner or a good lunch, and Bubby was her name, and food was her game. And today we're going to revisit some of those great recipes and some of the things that really, really made it special. The holidays this year are really interesting. Hanukkah happened right on Thanksgiving. Literally, Thanksgiving Day was the first day of Hanukkah. So it was really fun this year to combine the meal with a standard traditional Thanksgiving and a little bit of Hanukkah mixed in. Had some great, great food this year with some really good friends of mine. They're hunters, and they had some beautiful assortment of really wonderful things and things that they actually caught. And one of those great, great recipes and one of those great, great dishes were duck. And my good friends are smokers, meaning they use their old-fashioned equipment to smoke all their meats and all their sausages. So sort of for an appetizer, they were really great. They actually laid out an assortment of goose and roasted duck and actually a side of the pork. And they smoked it slowly for a day or so before this wonderful meal. And we got to sort of use that as one of our appetizers, and it was really great. And so many different people have commented on me talking about this duck and talking about where it comes from and all that stuff, that I decided it's probably a good idea to come up with some sort of a recipe for this duck and something that we can share with you. And it's just something that we don't have every single day. As a chef for many, many years, duck was, always a specialty meal that I prepared as a special, usually around holiday season. So there would be a roast duck, and there was a lot of different steps to doing that duck, and it was a very fancy affair, and usually used a beautiful assortment of fruit as a compote, like a cherry sauce or something like that. It worked out really, really great. And it took a lot of time and a lot of care to come out perfectly every single time, just crispy on the outside, pink on the inside, topped with this beautiful, beautiful mixture of Burgundy cherries, and just something really incredible. And tonight we're just going to talk a little bit about standard rose stock, which is something that, you know, it's a very easy thing to make on a lot of ways. And then in some cases, it's not that easy, but you can mess it up pretty quickly. So let me tell you a little bit about it. First of all, we're looking to try to get about a 5 to 6 pound duck. And including, if you're getting a whole duck, you want to get the innards and the wing tips removed, and that's the best. So you get a really nice duck, and you sometimes have to order it at a specialty shop. Lots of times you can get this duck perfectly frozen. And if you're really lucky, like I was, you'd have some friends that actually went out and brought them in. I don't like to use the K word, but they basically captured these ducks and provided them for this incredible meal that we're about to cook. So I took the duck and I sort of unwrapped it and allowed it to sit at room temperature for about 20 to 30 minutes. And then I use a fork, and I'm going to prick the skin a little bit without piercing the meat. And this will sort of allow the fat to drain off while the ducks cook. Meanwhile, in a really large stock pot, I've got some really, really nice chicken broth, fresh chicken broth that I rendered earlier today. And I'm going to take a teaspoon of kosher salt, and until it boils, I'm going to keep the ducks out. And then in this big, large stock pot, I'm going to go ahead and take the two ducks and stick them in there. And then I'm going to add them very carefully and then bring the stock back up to a boil. And if there isn't enough stock to cover the ducks, then I'll add a little bit of tap water if I have to, or a little bit of warm water. And if the ducks float to the top, you place like a plate or something, you know, sort of a heavy that, you know, obviously a good piece of a plate or a good, you know, bowl or something like that that's not going to break in the heat, to just keep them immersed in the water. And when the stock comes back to a boil, we'll lower the heat, and then we'll simmer the ducks in the stock for about 45 minutes. Now, while the ducks aren't, you know, are finishing, you know, simmering, and I'm going to skim off enough of the duck fat from the top of the stock to pour a film on the bottom of maybe a 14 by 18 inch, 3-inch roasting pan, and this is going to keep the ducks from sticking when they roast. Remember, we're making roast duck. Now, at this point in time, I'm going to very carefully take the ducks out of the stock, and I'm going to hold them over the same pot just so they can drain. And we're going to place them in a big roasting pan. I'm going to pat the skin dry just using a towel. I like to use a real clean little dish towel, not a paper towel, but some people can use paper towels. That's fine. And then I'm going to take about a teaspoon of the salt and the pepper, and I'm just going to go ahead and rub it down a little bit. And if I have time, I'm going to let the duck sit, you know, at room temperature for about 25 minutes or so to dry. Now, I've pre-dried these ducks. Now, I've taken the oven, and I've heated it up to about 500 degrees. It's really seriously hot. And make sure that the oven is, you know, cleaned out before I do it, because of that heat, some of the residual stuff that's in the oven might end up smoking. So now we're going to take the ducks on that heat after we pre-cook them a little bit, and we're going to roast them for 30 minutes. Then we're going to remove the, you know, the ducks from the oven and let them rest. Now, I pre-cut and pre-cooked the ducks here so I can give you that factor and the taste. Now, when I talk about resting, when you take the ducks out of the oven, I like them to sit for about another 20 to 30 minutes because we want to serve them warm. We don't have to serve them totally hot at room temperature, and that really works out really, really good. Sounds delicious, huh? Okay, now, that's your basic roast duck. Now, you you know, wonder if it has to be stuffed. You wonder if it has to have any specific sauce. Well, in this case, I just rubbed it with a good salt and pepper mixture, and it worked really, really good. Now, I'm going to tell you about two really, really good glazes that you can do for duck as well. Now, in this case, since we have the roast duck, we're going to carve it just pretty much like a chicken or a turkey. But there is a couple of really, really nice compotes that you can do. Now, here's what I like to do. I just take a cupful of raisins and white raisins to boot. I take about a glass of Ruby Port. That's a Ruby Port wine, and I let those raisins sit in that port overnight. Okay. Then I'm going to take a little bit of shallot and chop it up really well, a little bit of olive oil and white pepper, and a little bit of the juice from the duck, and I'm going to take that into the mixture of this beautiful raisin compote with the pork, and I'm going to slightly warm it. I'm going to let it go really, really slow for a little bit, and then what I like to do is sort of like reduce it so it thickens up a little bit, and it will thicken up. It'll get a little bit of, sort of syrupy looking, and it's just delicious. Now, what I like to do is on the roast duck, some people will take a little bit of this and sort of spoon it over the sliced duck, and that works really, really fine. Or you can put it on the side as well. I love to use everything that happened with the duck, so that little bit of juice that's left over, from the boiling of it initially, we're going to take that, we're going to reduce that and strain it really, really way down. So it's going to be called almost like duck juice, like an au jus. And lots of times I like to serve a little bit of saucer with that. So when you're cutting your duck, you're just taking your forkful of duck and dipping it in the sauce, and then a little bit in that Ruby Port raisin compote. Oh, my gosh. Total grandmother's house. Now, I think that, this is a treat. And, depending on how many people you're going to be serving, that's why I always say get at least two ducks, because it's so good that you're just going to want to keep eating it. Now, sometimes we'll do a turkey and we'll do a couple of ducks at the same time. And, oh, my gosh, really delicious. And hopefully you'll really like it. Now, what goes good with duck? So many different things. I like to really, really do a potato. I take a red roasted potato just in the oven, take them, cut them into small chunks, about an inch, big with the skin on, and then roast them in the oven. Now, what I do is I take them, I toss them in some olive oil, some salt and pepper, some paprika, a little bit of fresh garlic, and believe it or not, just a teeny, teeny, weeny bit of soy sauce, and toss those potatoes in there. Now, you put them on a sheet pan, stick them in the oven, 350, or you can stick them in your oven, right after the duck comes out while it's sitting, because at a hot oven, it won't take too long, maybe about 25 minutes, and it'll be roasted beautifully, nice and crisp. Another really good side dish is some sort of a squash and yam, which is really, really simple. Just you can get some basic yam and just puree it and make sort of a creamy yam, a little bit of butter, a little salt and pepper, and then I would take a little bit of that really good raisin compote with the Ruby Port wine and just drizzle a little bit out over that sweet potato. Now, I also love greens, and I think with duck, I always like to do like a spinach. It's really, really nice, and I would just lightly steam it or saute it in a pan with a little bit of garlic and olive oil and salt and pepper, and you have some wonderful, incredible meal. And that's the way I like duck. Duck is sort of the centerpiece of the whole thing, and you'll really, really see that when you do it. The skin comes off on the side, and lots of people like to slice that a little bit and have a little bit of the crunch. So you can't go wrong with any of it. It just is going to be really great. Now, remember, at this point in time, you have the stock left over from the duck. You can strain that a couple of times, and I would take it, stick it in some little sealed, freezer bags, and I would put about, a cup per bag, and that's a great starter sauce for other things that you might be doing. If you're going to make a Vietnamese pho-style soup, that duck broth is really, really good for that. If you're going to do just a basic noodle saute, like a pan-fried noodle, also, again, wonderful to use that. So, you know that my grandmother saved every single part of every single animal or bird or fish that she could and made something with it. And that was the great spirit of the wonderful meal that we had. Now, at that point in time, in those days, really, and not really so unlike these days, we tried to stretch the dollar and we tried to maintain, a little bit of an extra meal from all that we cooked and try to waste nothing. These days, we take it a little further by using our scraps and sometimes in our compost pile in our garden, and we get really, really wonderful, wonderful, wonderful deliciousness from everything we cook. All right, so there you go. There's your roast duck, and that's something pretty special that I remember. Now, I think that if you think about a total connection with Christmas and with Hanukkah, and with Thanksgiving, we're talking about a couple of weeks there where we're definitely ingesting a tremendous amount of food, and sometimes we want to have something that's a little simple and a little bit lighter, and that's where the next little recipe that I'm going to talk to you about comes in. And we're just talking about a standard matzo ball soup that we have talked about many, many times before, but I'm going to give you a little new twist on the matzo ball today. And this is another great thing. Usually it started the meal, and we had a cup of that. And, you know, lots of times after a cup of Bubby's matzo ball soup, even the idea of eating anything else after that was pretty almost impossible because we're already starting to get pretty full. Like standard family dinners that always really happen. It's just something that, you know you're going to get a tummy full for sure. Now, matzo balls are really interesting, and you know, there's a couple of different, you know, styles of matzo ball, and people like them really dense, and people really like the softer ones, and as they refer to in a lot of different cookbooks, they call it the fluffy matzo ball. Now, I like it somewhere in the middle. I like sort of a slightly al dente matzo ball, but I also like it fluffy. So in other words, what that means is when you start out cooking the matzo ball, by the time it's done, it'll triple in size. And here's a couple of tricks to do that. And here's what we're going to do. Really simply, we're going to use real matzo instead of matzo meal. Matzo meal is basically just matzo, which is an unleavened bread cracker, and it's ground up pretty fine, and then you sell it, you know, in one-pound boxes. I found one time when I couldn't really find matzo meal that I had some matzo laying around, so I kind of made my own, and I liked it. I put it into a food processor. I pulsed it, and I didn't get it as fine as matzo meal. In other words, it wasn't really a fine, powdery meal. I left it a little bit chunky, and it ended up working great. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take four eggs, separate the eggs, so take the yolks and put them in one little bowl, and then take the whites and put them in a bowl that you can use a mixing stick or a blender, but I like to use a mixing stick because I'll get more froth and fluff on it. All right, and take the one bowl and take the four egg yolks and put them in there. And I want you to take about a third of a cup of chicken broth and go ahead and stick that in with the eggs. And then finally, I'm going to have you pull a little bit of fat off the inside of the chicken that we're going to roast for the soup. And we're going to take that and we're going to render it. We're going to make something called schmaltz. And what we're going to do is take a pan, take about a third of an onion, chop it up really fine, take your third or half of a cup of chicken fat, just the raw fat, and put it into the pan and slowly simmer it until the onion starts caramelized and that fat renders into a liquid. Once that happens, you're going to take that and you're going to strain it through a tea strainer. Works really good. You'll end up getting about, depending on the average chicken, it's usually about, I would say, a third of a cup of chicken fat. Now, I love it. You're going to take 3 tablespoons of this delicious mixture, and you're going to put that in the mixture with the egg yolks and the chicken broth and set the rest of it aside because we're going to have a little taste treat on that a little bit later. Now, we're going to take our, egg whites at this point in time and set them aside. We're going to take one complete cup with 2 fingers extra. So, in other words, a cup of matzo meal that you just made from the fresh matzo, and then take 2 fingers, which is basically about another quarter of a cup. So it's a little bit over a cup. And I know it works fine to add a little bit extra, and I'll tell you why. What we're going to do is stick that in the bowl with the eggs that you've already mixed up a little bit and the chicken fat and the broth. At this point in time, put about a third of a teaspoon of kosher salt in there with the matzo ball. And I like to put 2 or 3 shakes of black pepper. Now, we get that mixture together. Now, with your mixing stick in a separate bowl, go ahead and start whipping your egg whites. And what's going to happen is one of 2 things is going to happen. It's either going to work, and they're going to start getting frothy with nice peaks on them, and the egg white's going to turn into something that looks almost like a meringue pie, or they're going to get soupy, and they're not going to work that great. Now, I don't know what it is, but I have found that when I take my egg whites and I stick them in the freezer for about 3 minutes before I start whipping them, they work really fine, and that's what I want you to do. So you stuck your egg whites in the freezer, pull them out, take your mixing stick, and get them frothy. Okay, once it gets frothy, you're going to spoon that delicious, incredible egg white over the mixture you already have and go ahead and start folding it, meaning taking a spatula, lift it from the center over the top. Don't stir it. Just toss it in and roll it in to that great mixture. and you're going to have this beautiful matzo ball mixture. Now, piece de resistance, get some very, very bubbly seltzer water. And this is why you need that extra 2 fingers of matzo meal. And take a little drip of it, I would say, from the bottle right into the center of it. And you're going to see it foam up a little bit. So we're talking about a tablespoon of seltzer water, maybe a little more than that. And that bubble, just fold those bubbles into it. Ah, beautiful. And stick it in the fridge for 15 minutes. And the magic of the inside of your fridge and that wonderful bowl with all this mixture is going to turn into the beautiful matzo ball that you're going to eat in about 30 minutes at this point. Now, we're going to take a separate, nice, medium-sized pot, and we're going to go ahead and put some salty water in it. We're going to, you know, fill it up with water, and we're going to add about a tablespoon, actually about a teaspoon, I would say, of salt into 2 to 3 quarts of water. Now, make sure you taste the water. If it's too salty, then thin it out and get more water. You don't want it overly salty, but you want it salted, like as if you were salting soup. And go ahead and take an ice cream scoop, a small one. I would say before they expand, they should be a little bit smaller than a golf ball. Now take your scoop, make them uniform because that's why we use a scoop, and then take them up in your clean hand and roll them around in your hand until they solidify a little bit, and then place them into the boiling water. What's going to happen is they're going to go down to the bottom. They're about 20 minutes, 23 minutes or so. They're going to float to the top. You're going to have a beautiful matzo ball. And at that point in time, you can take it and stick that ball right into your already cooked chicken soup. Now, as far as the chicken soup is concerned, you know, a lot of people say, oh, we'll just throw the matzo balls in and boil it with the chicken. No, you don't want to do that. You want to cook them separate, let them sit for a bit. And then right when you're finished at the last stage of making your chicken soup, then you'll add that in there. Now, as far as the chicken soup is concerned, what I'd like you to do is get a pencil and paper, and now is the perfect time to give you the information. I want you to go ahead and write me at Chef Stuarco, C-H-E-F as in Frank, S as in Sam, T-U-A-R-T-O, at hotmail.com. And just go ahead in the subject bar and put matzo ball recipe, and I'll send it right back to you. That'll save us a little bit of time today. And, oh, my gosh, it is the greatest, greatest soup. And this recipe is over 100 years old, and it's something that you will never, ever forget, and you'll never, ever want to be without for long periods of time. So, wow, what a dinner here, huh? We're talking about a nice little matzo ball soup and then a roast duck, some really beautiful canned, yams, which would be really nice, that incredible raisin, white raisin, red ruby pork compote. Oh, my gosh, and those roasted red potatoes is going to be something else. Don't forget the steamed or the sautéed light spinach. You have something that is absolutely going to make you, as they say, cavale. And that's one of the grandma's house recipes. That's the stuff that we used to have in the wintertime associated with a cold day, something really, really special to warm you up for sure. I'll be right back. All right, that is one of my favorite little tunes in the world. I want to thank you so much today for coming to my show and being here with me. We're going to be back on the air every single Sunday, and actually our regular air time will be at 8 p.m. Sunday nights. It'll be on the West Coast and, of course, 11 o'clock on the East Coast. Now, that will be our evening schedule for this winter. Foodomania will continue. We've got some really, really great guests and great things coming up in the future. And remember, you can not only listen on Blog Talk Radio, but you can also go to the archives at 1020radio.net and be able to hear the new shows there. We will be you streaming the show in 2 weeks, and therefore you'll actually be able to see what's going on during the course of the show. So we'll actually have a live camera. I'll give you all that information. Now, you want to go to the Facebook page called Chef Stuaro's Foodomania, and please like us. And therefore, once you do that, you'll get all the bulletins of all the new shows. Really, really looking forward to a really good season this year and starting the new year off with an incredible, incredible array of wonderful food, wonderful conversations. And we'll bring you into the conversation as well. And you might want to write this down for next time. My number here in the studio is 323-580-5779. That's 323-580-5779. And feel free to call in at any time, and I'll try to take your call. In fact, we still have a few minutes. If anybody wants to call in today, you surely can. But write it down for next time, where we'll open the phone lines about halfway through the show for sure. And look forward to your calls on that level. Remember, you can write me at chefstuardo@hotmail.com. and suggest any recipes or any ideas or any questions that you might have. And it will be wonderful to be able to answer those questions with you right on the air. And I hope this holiday so far season is treating you well. It seems hard to believe that we're just, a few days away from Christmas, really. For the most part, it's, 10 days from today. And we'll be doing that great holiday for everybody. And then, of course, New Year's coming up right after that. And we will have our New Year's show next Sunday, and we will be talking about, just some of the great, wonderful things we can anticipate for the following week in Christmas and also New Year's, and we'll have our New Year's special set of recipes and food that's going on and some funny stuff, funny food stories, which are starting to come in. I encourage you to write them, tell us about them. You can send them via video, audio, or just regular email to chefstuardo@hotmail.com, and we will be picking stuff out of our recipe box from you, sent in from our great listeners, to tell you and everybody around who's listening your stories and your great experiences of things that happen during the holiday, things that happen during the year as far as food. We'll be updating some of the things as we go along to catch you up with the transition to the brand new studio, the new garden that is just actually being put together, and I'm looking at it actually right now, even though it's dark here. Got the front lights on, and it's a smaller, garden, but looking to be really bountiful this coming year, and it should be really, really fun. So I'm looking forward to it. I want to thank you again for tuning in tonight, and I really look forward to the next time. I'll be here next Sunday night with you all. Have a good night. This is Stuardo. Thanks for listening to Foodomania.